Okay. All right. So we got your attention. Some of us need it. Some of us don't. But anyway, it would be nice if that would work, wouldn't it? And you didn't have to worry about exercise or what you eat, but that's all. But how many of you are sick and tired of being sick and tired? How many of you are so tired of scraping the bottom of the barrel? Some of you are under the barrel. All right? Barrel's on your head. Well, what about pain in your body? Have you had enough of it? It's been going on for so long that you just say, enough, this has got to stop. I can't tolerate this anymore. And some of us even have too much month. Too much month. Not enough money. The money runs out before the end of the month. Get it? If I have to explain it, I won't use it again, all right? But I've got to torment the second service anyway, so they got to hear it. But you know what? I think what's been going on in our life is that the devil has been kicking us around so long that we have come to believe and accept that this is the way it's supposed to be. And with little resistance anymore, because he has been so consistent with his attacks against us and our families, that we've just kind of become complacent. We've begun to accept the troubles of life and begin to think that, hey, this is all there is to life and there's no other way out and this is normal. Well, I'm here to tell you that it's not. It's not normal. And we're going to climb into the Word of God. We're going to look at these things in the Word of God. And we're going to move these mountains out of our lives. Whatever it is that you've been facing, we can call it a mountain. We're going to move it out. All right? So everybody reach up with one hand like this. And say, reach up. And with the other hand, say, push back. All right, one more time. Reach up. Push back. We're going to reach up to God, take a hold of his promises, and we're going to push that devil back. Jesus, man. So that's your new sign this week, all right? Whenever you get under the whatever's going on, you say, wait a minute. Reach up, push back. Amen. It's enough. The devil's not going to push you around anymore. You're going to push back. And that's the plan. So God has given us some tremendous promises. You know, Jesus said in Mark 9:23, he said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So the requirement is believing. Do you see that? If all things are going to work for you, the only requirement is believe. Believe. All things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible. Everybody say all?
All.
Now say it properly. Say all.
All.
Now you've got to say it with the right accent. Doesn't work if you say it American style. Say all. There you go. Ooh, I can sense that anointing immediately. There it comes. All things are possible if you believe.
Amen.
If you believe. So consequently, I do think that we have not been experiencing the all possibility is because there's been something wrong with our believing. So I'm open. I'm open to be challenged about my belief and my faith. Because I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I don't want to stay here anymore, and I want to get into God's promises. And if something's got to change in me, so be it. Are you with me?
Yeah.
All right. In Luke 1:37, the Bible said, for nothing will be impossible with God. We know that? Nothing will be impossible with God. Now, if you're honest with me, really, really honest, did you read that like this? And nothing will be impossible to God. How did you read it? Did you read it that because he's God, nothing is impossible to him? Tim, come up here. This is what I saw while I was preparing it. I'm going to let him be God for a moment.
Everybody.
Put your hand out towards me. Nothing is impossible with God. How many see the difference? If I say nothing's impossible because he's God, we go, yeah, of course, we all know that. But I believe the scripture is saying nothing's impossible with God. Give the Lord a praise. Come on. Amen. Nothing is impossible with God. And He is with us, and He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. And then James 4:7 tells us this. Resist the devil, and he will flee from God. Who is he going to flee from? Let's get a hold of this now. Let's get a hold of it. It didn't say God will resist the devil. It said, who's going to resist the devil? So there's no use praying, God, get the devil off me. There's no use praying, God, push the devil back. The scripture says clearly, we must resist the devil, and he, the devil, will flee from us because we are with God. And therefore, nothing is impossible to us. And we're going to put that devil on the run. Amen. It's just about time. Say, move, devil, move. Come on, one more time. Don't look at your neighbor. Just say, move, devil, move. Okay? There's time to look at your neighbor, and there's a time not to look at your neighbor. But it is time that we draw a line in the sand. And we say, it's enough. I'm going to take God at His word. I'm going to take God at His word. Because the scripture tells me, let God be true and every man a liar. So if God said it, that settles it. It's so. It's so. And whoever is speaking into your ear, just tell them, go like this. If they are saying anything contrary to the scripture, if you're believing God and they're trying to talk you out of it, you go, oop. No, no, no. Let God be true. Let God be true. And every man a liar. So we are going to believe Jesus, not our physical circumstances. Amen. Now that's going to take some doing, because we are people of the natural. We live in this natural world, and this natural world has a voice. And that voice has been screaming at us so loud that it sometimes becomes difficult to put our faith above the voice of the natural world in which we live, our physical circumstances. Do you know what? I've just had enough of the life that the devil is trying to force on me. It's not the life that Jesus came to give me. It's the life the devil's trying to give me. And there's no reason why I have to take it. I've had enough of the devil's attacks against my family, and I'm pushing back. Just about every day I turn around and the devil is doing something to my family. Just about every day he's trying to kill one of us. And it's enough. It's enough. I'm saying, this is it. This is it. I got your number. It's 666. I got your number. Yeah, you're not going to get away from me. I'm going to take John 3:16. I'm going to take everything else I can, and I'm coming against you, and I am going to resist the devil until he flees. How long? Until. How long? Until. Why? Because the word says so, and I'm going to believe God's word above anything else in my life. I am not going to succumb to the circumstances that I see in the natural world. Reach up. Push back. Say it out loud. Reach up. Push back. Now turn and tell your neighbor, reach up, push back. All right. In John 10 and verse 10, Jesus gave us the purpose for him coming. He said, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. We all know that scripture. And if there's one scripture in the Bible we can quote, it's that one. I went and I just looked up the New Living Translation, and I love the way this translation goes. It says, the thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and destroy. But my purpose, Jesus said, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. A rich and satisfying life. Now, you know, the devil is such a conniving, let me say, blighter. Do you know that word? You're not familiar with it? Okay. Huh? Cuss. I don't know what word you use, but anyway, it's an ugly word. It's an ugly word. You can think of any word you want to, just don't say it out loud. And here's the thing about the devil. He's so conniving that he can get us to believe that what's going on is actually God. And so we don't resist him because we don't recognize and identify his works. Because he gets us to believe this is God. It's God working this in your life because it's for a good purpose. And he's trying to work some things out in your life so it's for you. And we just take it. But not according to Jesus. Jesus said the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So we have got to learn to discern the works of the devil. If something's going on in your life and it's killing, stealing, or destroying, it's not from God. Identify it, recognize it, and those are what you press back on. Anything that's killing, stealing, or destroying, press back on it. Push back on it. Don't let the devil get away with what he's doing. I like this. I'm going to enjoy the rich, satisfying life. You know why? Jesus died on the cross to give it to me. This is the life he wants me to have. And I'm just not going to let the devil talk me out of the life Jesus paid his with his blood for me to have. I'm not going to let him talk me out of it. You know what? Everybody say, move, devil, move. Again, don't look at your neighbor. Say, move, devil, move. Hallelujah. Scripture tells us that we fight the good fight of faith. Now, no fight that you're involved with is easy. There's pain involved with fights. But the good news is we win every time. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a good fight. It's a good fight because we succeed. I thank God. Yes, the Bible says, I thank God that he always gives us the victory in Christ Jesus. Always gives us the victory. Now, I added the word always because I believe God is always about it. Now, in order to get this victory that we're talking about, we're going to need faith. We're going to need faith. We're not going to overcome what's going on in our lives without faith. Simply believing God. So the question is then, why do I need faith? Well, straight out the bat, the scripture tells me, because we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. Remember, the sight is the physical realm. It's your physical senses. And we walk, not according to our physical senses, but by faith. I see Snejana going like this. I know, I just been through 9 months of keeping my child alive because I walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Give her a round of applause. She knows what I'm talking about. And so does Richard. So does Richard. Amen. We walk by faith and not by sight. Now listen to this scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. It is by your own faith that you stand firm. It is not by my faith, your pastor's faith, your mother's faith, your spouse's faith. It's by your own faith that you stand firm. That's a good reason why we need faith. Amen. Because we're wanting to stand firm. You see, let me do another illustration. And this time I'm going to have Dr. Chris come out and do it. And here's the thing. See, he was God, he's the devil, okay? And this is the thing. This is the thing. When I push back at the devil, remember, he's been pushing at me this whole time. And I've been allowing him to push me and to overcome, and I've been, you know, backpedaling and everything. Now I decide to push back. Well, do you think the devil's going to roll over? No. He's been having victory over me. So what's going to happen? He's going to push back, and I'm going to push back. Now, you know, in the natural, the devil's bigger than me. Do you know that? In the natural, he's bigger than you. In the spirit realm, he's bigger than you. But not with God. Not with God, and not by faith, and not by the blood of Jesus. So while he's pushing, guess what? It's my faith that keeps me firm. I'm not going anywhere because my faith is keeping me firm. Not your faith. My faith is keeping me firm. While I push back and he pushes back, I'm not going anywhere. I'm standing firm. And now you delivered. Maybe sit down. Amen. We stand firm by faith. And then first, Romans chapter 1:17 says, the just shall live by faith. The just are those who are righteous. If you've received Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're righteous. So the righteous must live by faith. If we don't live by faith, we shall die. This is not an option. This is how it works. We have to live by faith. So how does faith work? How does faith work? And this is just, we're going to touch on a few things here. Let's read the story in Mark chapter 11 and verse 12. It begins there on how Jesus cursed the fig tree. And you know the story, but we'll read it anyhow. Now the next day, when they came out of Bethany, he was hungry. Talking about Jesus. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it. Did you notice the word in response? He is responding to something. He didn't initiate it. He's responding to something. He's responding to a bad situation. He's responding to a bad circumstance. There was no fruit on the tree. In response to the fact there was no fruit on the tree, Jesus did something. And this is the thing. We have to respond to the fact that there's no fruit on our tree. Whatever the tree is, we have to respond. We can't just say, oh, it's not the season. It even says it wasn't the season. But you can say it's not the season. No, we'll make it the season. Push back. Push back at it. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And the disciples heard it, which means he said it out loud, loud enough for them to hear. His pushback wasn't on his own. I wouldn't want to confess it because somebody might hear me. They better hear you. They better hear you. Because when you push back, the devil's got to hear you. Now, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Now, you know, in my books, I don't see that as a curse, like no one eat fruit from you forever. I don't like it. He didn't like curse the tree. He's like spoke negatively to it. And this is the whole thing. We're speaking negatively to our own fig trees. We may not be cursing our fig trees because we'd say, I would never curse it. But you do speak negatively to it. You know, when the car doesn't start, you kick the tire and you say, you dumb, stupid car, you never start. When I need you most, you let me down. So does your washing machine. When something goes wrong, we let that anger come out. And literally, we're cursing that very thing. We're cursing it by our negative speech. And this is what Jesus did. So they said, look, it's withered away. So Jesus answered and he said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Say, move, mountain, move. Say it again, move, mountain, move. How did Jesus tell us to move the mountain? Right in this incident here, he gives us four things to do to move the mountain. The first thing he says is have faith in God. Have faith in God. And this is the issue. It's with God, all things are possible. It's with God, all things are possible. So my faith is not in my faith. My faith is not in me. My faith is in God. He said, have faith in God. It's the faith that we have in God that we will use to move the mountain. How big is your God? Is he bigger than your mountain? Is he bigger than your mountain? You have to remind yourself. You have to remind yourself. What Jesus is saying here, the next thing he says, speak to the mountain. Second thing he says, speak to the mountain. He did not say, speak to God about your mountain. He said, speak to the mountain about your God. And so many times we will go to God and we'll complain to God about our mountain. And what Jesus is saying, no, take the faith you have in God and then use it against your mountain. Speak to the mountain. And then number three, he said, believe what you say will happen. Believe what you say will happen. You know, we unfortunately have more faith in the negative things in our life than we have in the positive things. When something goes wrong, we are quick to possibly say, this always happens to me. I don't understand why this goes on, but it's like this always happens to me. Take one step forward and two steps backwards. Always rains on my parade. We say things like that, and you know, when we get angry, we actually say it more vehemently. And we say it with more faith. We actually mean it and believe it, especially when we get angry. So be careful, be careful. Jesus said you have to believe what you say. You have to believe what you say will happen. You have to have faith in what you say. And number four, he says, don't doubt in your heart. Don't doubt in your heart. In this particular portion here, Jesus is instructing us to use the faith that we have in God to move the mountain. Our faith is the power in the faith is only released when we speak. He told us to speak to the mountain. See, faith is completely destroyed by doubt. Jesus said, don't doubt. And this is an issue that a lot of people have. They will say to me, Pastor, I had faith. I had faith. I don't understand why it didn't work. You need to come next Sunday. Next Sunday, I'm going to teach you how to deal with doubt and the destructive power that doubt has. Because you see, belief is negated by doubt. You can have faith, but if you have doubt, it will negate the faith. And so, yes, you had faith, and you knew that you had faith, but the unbelief or the doubt came and negated it. We'll talk about that next week. So we need to believe. Jesus said, believe what you say, or the mountain will not move. Believe what you say, or the mountain will not move. All right. Now, how many of you think, don't raise your hands, how many of you think you have the spirit of faith? Have the spirit of faith. Okay, well, thank you for raising your hands anyway. That's okay. So we'll find out. Are you willing to test? Do you want to test? How many now? Raise your hands if you want to test to see if you have the spirit of faith. Only four of you. Okay, we'll move on then. The same four that lifted their hands and said they have it. Not true. All right, so let's test it. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, and in keeping with what is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. We who have the same spirit of faith also believe and therefore speak. So how do I know if I have the spirit of faith? The scripture says, I believe and therefore I speak. If you believe and don't speak, you do not have the spirit of faith. You may say, I have faith, and that's true. You may say, I believe, and that's true. But the spirit of faith is something different. The spirit of faith believes and then speaks. And when it speaks, it believes what it says is going to come to pass. That is the spirit of faith. And that's where we need to get to. Are you with me? All right. We need to get to that where we can believe and say, well, say this, I have the spirit of faith. Now say, move mountain, move. Now turn and tell somebody next to you, I have the spirit of faith. And turn to the other person and say, what about you? We have faith. What about you? Okay. How do I get faith? How do I get faith? It's very important. We need to know how to get faith. Well, the good news is that God has made it very simple. He's made it so simple, it's actually an automatic process. It's carved in stone. It happens. It works every time. It's like when you get water, you get the wet with it. When you get the water, you don't have to believe for the wet. It comes with it. It's automatic. Do you get it? Okay. I know that's deep. Did you get that one? Okay. Let's make sure. So I don't want to use it on the second service. If you guys don't get it, then there's no way the second crowd's going to get it. Okay. So it works like this. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How does faith come?
By hearing.
By hearing what? The word of God. Therefore, doubt will come by hearing what men say or what the devil says. But faith comes by hearing what God says. Now, what we have got to work out, and we're going to spend some weeks, maybe months, in these topics, because I really want you to grasp what the scripture says, the promises concerning sickness and health, poverty, wealth. We want to deal with these issues, and we're going to go real deep into them so that you can understand, is lack from God or is abundance God's? Is bondage from God or is deliverance from God? And you say, well, surely everybody knows that. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. There are so many people that have the idea that poverty and spirituality are tied together by a short rope. I honestly believe it, that if you start to say, well, you're going to be rich and prosper, then you're unspiritual. Well, tell that to God with these golden streets. Big problem up there. And his walls has got like 12 layers of jewels underneath them. Yeah, exactly. Can't even see them underground. Come knock on the door. It's one big pearl. The whole door's one pearl. Yeah, and there's 12 of them. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do you like them bills? Right. Okay. You can't be spiritual, God. There's no way you could be spiritual. Hello, Jesus. You're wearing a big golden band around you. I thought jewelry is forbidden. That's what you get for thinking. Read the book. So what we're going to find out is, does God want you to have this mountain? If he does, you can't move it. I don't care what you do. You can't move it. But if he doesn't want you to have the mountain, then we're going to need faith in God to move the mountain. So we have got to establish what the will of God is concerning your mountain. Yes. Yeah? Amen. Is it the will of God or isn't the will of God? So we're going to dig in. We're going to dig in deep, and we're going to find out what the will of God is, and we're going to move that mountain. Say, move mountain, move. Move mountain. Reach up. Push back. In Jesus' name. So I'm going to encourage you. Download these teachings. Maybe stay for the second service if you don't have a computer and can't download them. Soak yourself in this word. Soak yourself in this faith so that your faith can grow and you can be an overcomer and you can walk in what Jesus wants you to walk in. Amen? You want that? Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, give the Lord a praise. Come on. So I want the musicians that I've asked to come up stage, please. I want to minister to some people.